This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get on to the episode.
Welcome to the Counter Narrative Podcast, a show designed to change the way we talk and think about education. By sharing stories of successes and triumphs, we aim to challenge the dominant narrative that often negatively portrays our disenfranchised populations. I'm your host, Charles Williams, an urban educator for more than 15 years, a current school principal in Chicago, an educational consultant, an equity advocate, and the co-host of Inside the Principal's Office. Let's get started. Hey listeners, before we jump into the episode, I wanted to share something with you. On January 6th, it's a Saturday, at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, I am going to be hosting a webinar for all speakers who want to up their games. In this session, we're going to dive into the rhetorical triangle so we can figure out how to elevate your speaking prowess so you can build a trustworthy persona, connect emotionally, and present logical arguments that resonate with your listeners. But we're also going to learn how to weave compelling narratives through factual content by exploring various story models. Through this, you're going to be able to persuade, teach, and inspire while also retaining the core concepts and messages of your speech. Whether you're addressing a conference room, pitching to clients, or even inspiring a team, the skills you're going to learn during this webinar will help you become a more confident and persuasive speaker. I don't want you just to leave your audience listening, but I want them to be engaged and moved by your words. And as a listener to this podcast, using the keyword counter, C-O-U-N-T-E-R, you'll save an extra 10%. But hurry, there are some early bird pricing going on now, and ticket prices will increase as the time goes on. I can't wait to see you there. Now, let's jump into the episode. So I'm going to do my very best to be very cognizant and conscious and careful with the words that I choose to use for this episode. I know that when I'm distributing it, there's that little button that I can check for explicit content. And I recognize that I've had a few guests over the time, you know, drop a bomb here or there, but that is not the point of this show. This is not one of those shows that rely on profanity-laden spaces in order to get my point across. And so I will do my very, very best, but I will be honest with you listeners that this may be a challenge for this episode because I am fired up. I am frustrated. I'm angry. I'm exasperated. I'm befuddled. Insert word here. Go grab a thesaurus and feel free to find the word that best fits. Today, when I was driving home on my commute, I was listening to TED Talks, which is something that I normally do either on my way in or on my way home, not only so that way I can learn something new, gain new ideas and perspectives, but to be honest, quite frankly, I'm always listening to the delivery of these conversations because I am a student in that space as well, always trying to figure out how can I best improve my delivery in the spaces that I'm in. And speaking of those spaces, if you've ever followed anything that I've done, if you've ever been to any of my sessions, you'll know that one of the sessions that I do, probably the most popular session that I do that I've been able to share with audiences all across the country and up in Canada, hoping to expand if you'll have me, if you're listening, is the concept of colorblindness. In fact, it talks about the problem with colorblindness. And today, as I was driving home, there was an episode of TED Talks which caught my attention, and it is by a gentleman by the name of Coleman Hughes. I will drop the TED Talk in the notes so you can go and listen to it. But what really caught my attention was that the title of this TED Talk was A Case for Colorblindness. Now, I'll be honest, for a moment as I saw that, I thought to myself, wait a minute, maybe I misread it. I do have a habit of listening to these in the car. And so, you know, maybe for that brief moment that I took my eyes off the road, I thought, okay, maybe I misread that. Maybe I missed a word. Maybe I, and I looked at it again and no, it said a case for color blindness. And I said, what in the world, what kind of nonsense has Ted allowed onto one of their conversations, right? I will admit, I don't listen to all of them. Some of them do not perk my interest, pique my interest, right? So some of them, I don't really know what's talking, but this is right up my alley. So of course I open it up, and I will be honest, the next thing that caught my attention was the fact that Coleman Hughes is an African-American male from Canada. He's an African-American male. And again, I'm thinking to myself, what in the world are you possibly going to talk about? Maybe this is satirical, right? Maybe he's just going to be dripping with irony, right? And really push back in that way. And I thought, okay, I cannot judge a book by its cover. I cannot judge an episode by its title, by the speaker. Let me listen to it. And so I did. I spent, you know, the 14 or so minutes listening to the episode, and all the while wishing that I had done so from my office so that way I could have my notebook out writing my responses to this guy. In fact, it was in the vehicle that I decided this is going to be the next pause to ponder. There are a few that I've been wanting to share, a few that keep taking the back burner. But I share with you all the time that I want to be as authentic as possible and to share the things with you that are impacting me and I think that are impacting the world of education. So hence, this is what I'm doing. In short, and feel free to go and listen to it. Feel free to let me know if there's anything that I missed. But in short, what Coleman says is, listen, adopting a colorblindness approach. First, he says that it has been misconstrued, that the idea of color blindness often goes with the idea of, well, I don't see color. Now, I don't know about you, but the core of the conversation that I have, my entire workshop around this is literally based on that. So I'm thinking to myself, then Coleman, what in the world are you talking about? When somebody says, I don't see color, I only see the human race, those are typically the responses that are connected to the concept of colorblindness. So how can you possibly say that the concept of colorblindness isn't rooted in those ideologies? So that was issue number one for me. Number two, he sits in this space and says that when we see color, when we see race, that we are perpetuating racial stereotypes, racial prejudices. We are contributing to this society and ideologies that are founded on these racist beliefs and separations amongst race. So he says, for that reason, we should become colorblind. We shouldn't see race. And I immediately thought, after a conversation that I had in Vegas. So this past summer, I shared this speech in Vegas. As I mentioned, I share it all over the country. And there was a gentleman in my space, right? And afterwards, he and I sat and we probably chatted for a good 20 to 30 minutes. And one of his questions was, Charles, I'm trying to understand something here. You say that being colorblind is an issue because I'm not seeing race and culture. But if I'm seeing race, then that means, and I'm treating you based on the race that you have, then that means that I can be adopting racist policies, racist attitudes. So wouldn't it be better if we didn't see race? And I told him, you know, you're talking about this ideal world, this pastoral world in which race wouldn't matter. And I agree with you. It would be wonderful if we existed in a space where race doesn't matter. But I don't know about you, but the last time I checked, race is a huge component of how I show up in the world. In fact, one of the things that I talk about in that segment is that if you're going to be an equitable educator, that I need to recognize the race that you are, so that way I can be an advocate on your behalf. Because here's the thing, just because we want to ignore something doesn't mean it ceases to exist. A quote that I incorporate in that speech: just because we choose to ignore something doesn't mean it ceases to exist. Just because we would hope that we live in a world that doesn't see racism, because, you know, let's adopt this idea of, well, you know, there's no racism, it doesn't mean it goes away. And what frustrates me, because I started diving into this, apparently there's this whole background to this. Apparently I'm not the only one who has pushed back. In fact, when the TED Talk came out, there was a multitude of individuals pushing back. In fact, I believe it was Adam Grant, who even said, look, like, I get it, this would be great, but that isn't the world that we live in. The reality is that we live in this space. And he even responded to that, trying to quote King to say, look, King wanted this. And now, I'm not going to say that I'm an expert on all things King, but in his response, in his rebuttal, he talked about King's text, Why We Can't Wait. And I will tell you that I've read this. And yes, King says, listen, we need to make some movements. We cannot sit around waiting for these things to take place. And he says in his most iconic speech, I have a dream that one day, that my children will not be judged by the color of their skin. Yes, Coleman, yes. Ideally, at one point, that is where we will be. At one point, we will not have to worry about race. At one point, we could embrace this ideology of being colorblind, because race will not matter. Ideally, one day. But what you need to understand is the potential damaging effects of what you're trying to say, because what you are telling individuals who play into these racist beliefs of why we need to recognize race, because, oh, they could not wait for us to adopt such a thing, because then it reinforces, you know, the exact policies and systems that are being put into place, is that we create a space that allows racism to occur, because now we're not recognizing racism. It doesn't mean that those people aren't going to stop looking at race. But if we as a whole say, well, I guess that's not something that we have to worry about anymore, it doesn't mean it goes away. Man, I want you to listen to this. Listener, I want you to click on it. I want you to listen to it. But Coleman, if for some reason you listen to this, and I would love, just like anybody else, to have a conversation with you about this, I agree with you. At some point, this would be great. But to adopt so now is a dangerous and damaging proposition. Because the reality is that you and I, my friend, cannot just simply walk around pretending as if we are not being judged by the color of our skin. And for you and I to sit here and pretend like, well, I'm just going to ignore the fact that I'm a black man, will not change how people look at us, will not change how people treat us. So my friend, I need you to reconsider what you're talking about. Go and listen to the episode. I want to thank you for listening to the Counter Narrative Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please be sure to like, subscribe, and of course, share it with friends and family. I'd also love to hear your thoughts about the show, so please leave a comment or two as well. Now, I'm not sure what platform you're using, but the show can be found on Anchor, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and plenty of other platforms. If the show isn't on your preferred site, let me know, and I'll be sure to get it up and running. This podcast is also featured on schoolrubric.com, where you can find educational articles, videos, and interviews with educators from around the globe. Be sure to connect with me and other listeners by following the show on Twitter at the CN Podcast and joining the show's Facebook group.
Take care.